Grub control. Grubs can cause extensive damage to untreated lawns. Grubs are the larvae of adult beetles. In early summer, adult beetles lay their eggs in the soil, and within weeks, the larvae emerge and begin to feed on the roots of the grass. The feeding by the grubs takes place from late summer into fall and causes extensive damage to lawns. Additionally, food-seeking predators such as moles, skunks, cows, and blackbirds can do far further damage when grubs are present. Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, December 3rd, 2025. We begin our reading on the front page, recent house fires. Thankfully, no one hurt. First, in Paxton, Thanksgiving Day fire displaces family. Paxton. Firefighters from several departments responded to a blaze at 334 South Elm Street in Paxton Thursday morning that displaced a family. The fire started in the garage located south of the dwelling and extended to the house, which sustained extensive damage. Fire Chief Danny Kingren said the family of five living there were able to get out of the house and were unhurt. Kingren said the fire started while they were cooking a turkey between the house and garage. It was reported around 10:30 a.m. Something happened with the propane, Kingren said in a text message to the Ford County Chronicle. And when the dad got out of the shower, he saw the garage on fire and the fire going up the side of the house. The displaced family was offered assistance from the American Red Cross, as arranged by the Ford County Emergency Management Agency, and donations were being accepted for the family via GoFundMe.com. The Paxton Fire Protection District responded to the blaze with 5 fire trucks, 15 firefighters. Fire departments of Loda and Buckley brought an additional 3 trucks and 10 firefighters. Also responding were Paxton Police, Paxton Emergency Response Service volunteers, and Gibson Area Ambulance Service paramedics. We are incredibly grateful for the quick and professional assistance from our neighboring agencies who answered the call on a holiday, said a message posted on the Paxton Fire Department's Facebook page. Your dedication, especially on Thanksgiving, means more than words can say. The fire heavily damaged the home of Aaron and Zoe Stewart and their 3 children, according to Lisa Meredith, a friend of the family. Meredith has organized a GoFundMe account with a $5,000 fundraising goal, and it can be accessed on her Facebook page. Meredith said Aaron Stewart was taking a shower after having placed a turkey to cook in a propane-fueled air fryer between their garage and house. She said the propane tank had caught fire, but he was unable to extinguish it. It was so windy that day that it spread so fast, she said. It could have happened to anybody. Meredith said the family initially stayed at a hotel and was trying to sort out future lodging accommodations. They are deciding whether they'll rent an apartment, get an Airbnb, or stay with family now that they know it's going to be an extended period of time, according to Meredith. And from Elliot, family of 3 loses home, but unhurt. Elliot. An Elliot family's home is likely a total loss after its chimneys flew, caught fire Saturday night as wood was burning in its fireplace, Fire Chief Bill Smith said. Firefighters from Elliott, Gibson City, and Roberts Melvin responded around 6:21 p.m. to the blaze at the 2-story house at 109 South High Street, bringing an estimated 30 firefighters and 8 fire trucks to the scene. A family of 3 staying there, 2 adults and 1 child, were unhurt, although the child was transported by paramedics to an area hospital due to some smoke inhalation. Smith said the chimney's flue apparently caught fire as the wood-burning fireplace was in use, and the fire then spread into the attic and through the roof. Smith said the damage was extensive enough that the home is probably a total loss. The wind played a big factor, Smith said, of the fire spread. Firefighters were called back out to the scene around 5:30 a.m. Sunday after the fire rekindled. The Ford County Emergency Management Agency arranged for the displaced family to have a place to stay and received assistance from the American Red Cross, according to a post on the agency's Facebook page. Now a follow-up to those two stories. Headline reading, "There's a lot of compassionate people in Ford County. Community steps up to help fire victims." Ford County. Communities are coming together to support victims of two separate house fires in Ford County. On Thanksgiving, a turkey fryer set a garage fire in Paxton. On Saturday night, a house fire in Elliott destroyed a home. "There's a lot of compassionate people in Ford County," Ford County's Emergency Management Agency Coordinator Terry Whitebird said. His point has been proven right. People in Ford County rallied together to support their own, even when there were still flames. With the fire in the neighborhood, the other close neighbor, you know, she had them bundled up, but I kept grabbing blankets just to help them, Don Mertes, a picket fence floor's owner, said. Mertes was talking about the two children who lived in the house in Paxton that caught fire on Thanksgiving. Whitebird has also been working with the family. "The donations they've received so far has been overwhelming for them," he added. However, they are not the only ones who got immediate support. "A friend of mine replaced her sister's walker that was melted during the fire," Whitebird shared about the victim in the Elliott fire. He was also working with that family who lost their home because of a chimney flue fire. Whitebird added that they're in need of food and women's clothing. "County Market in Gibson City, there's a drop site over there," he added. For the family in Paxton, the fire on Thursday wasn't their only concern. They also have a baby in the NICU, and they've been placed in a hotel in Champaign to be closer to the hospital. It's also why helping their family with travel costs is so necessary. With the baby in the NICU, with them making it back and forth, the gas cards help immensely, Mertes said. The physical donations paint a bigger picture about how, when tragedy strikes, the community steps up. It shows the families involved that people really care and have concern for your safety and your well-being, Whitebird said. The other donation suggestions for the Paxton family include clothing in sizes 4T, 7, and 8. The family is also in need of adult medium and large size clothing. You can drop those off, as well as any other donations for the Paxton family, at a picket fence florist in Paxton. Back on the front page, we have from the Gibson City Council, landowner pitches development of hotel on his land as city awaits hotel feasibility study results. Gibson City. The Gibson City Council heard a preliminary pitch last week from Emir Balazi, who said he is exploring the possibility of building a hotel on land he owns next to the Country Kettle restaurant. Attending the council's November 24th meeting as a visitor, Balazi said that Alderman that he heard about the city's involvement in a feasibility study for a possible hotel in Gibson City and wanted the council to be aware that he was already considering building one himself. "This is just a preliminary visit," Balazi told the council. "I own the land next to the Country Kettle," Balazi said, "so we were thinking about bringing in our own hotel instead of a franchise." Alderman Terry Roche said that once the results of the 30-day feasibility study are known, then we can consider all our options. Alderman Randy Wyant encouraged Balazi to contact City Hall to arrange for the topic to be listed on the agenda for the next meeting on Monday, December 8th. Alderman Sarah Sarantakos questioned whether Cobblestone Hotel and Suites, which has been brought up as one potential hotel brand that the city could perhaps attract, should be the only option considered. "Cobblestone has an interest guarantee if the study is favorable," she said. "But these people," Balazi, "have a sure thing. When, starting in March?" "It's possible we could start in March," Balazi replied. I will get on the agenda for next time. Tax levy ordinance passed after increase voted down. Also during the meeting, City Attorney Mark Miller outlined this year's proposed property tax levy ordinance, explaining that the city has not increased its levy in the past decade. Miller said that Mayor Dan Dickey, who was not present at the meeting, requested that Miller present two versions of the tax levy this year, one maintaining the current levy and one increasing it by 3%. Miller said the increase would generate about $10,000 in new revenue from all taxable properties. As a percentage of your budget, this doesn't amount to very much money, Miller told the alderman. You could do more than 3%, but that is what I recommend. Most aldermen did not want to raise the tax levy. Keep it like it is, Wyant said. Added Roisch, don't raise it. We have already hit people for enough already. This won't make them very happy. Alderman Ray Hanks was more agreeable to raising the levy, motioning for approval of a 3% increase. Saranteco seconded Hankey's motion. Our expenses here at City have gone up, and we are facing what everyone else is facing, Sarantakos argued. Considering we haven't raised taxes in over a decade, I don't think it would be unfair. It would be $5 to $10 per person, a small amount, but it would give us $10,000 more. After Hankey's motion to raise the levy failed, 2-5, with Hankey's and Sarantakos casting the only yes votes, a follow-up motion to keep the levy unchanged was approved 6-1, with Sarantakos casting the sole dissenting vote. Back on the front page, we have from the Ford County Board, budget balanced as county experiences soft landing in life without ARPA. Despite having no more federal ARPA dollars to use, County Board finds way to balance its fiscal year 26 budget. Paxton. For the first time since 2021, Ford County's budget for the new fiscal year includes no federal dollars from the pandemic relief law known as the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA. Even so, the budget for the county's general fund is balanced with equal revenue and expenditure projections of $5,838,786 for the 2026 fiscal year that began Monday, December 1st, thanks to the efforts of the County Board's Finance Committee, headed by Sarah Mussman of Gibson City, County Treasurer Carisha Whitcomb, and the county's various department heads. They worked diligently on figuring out a path forward without ARPA money, the board's chairman, Chase McCall of Gibson City, said after the budget was approved during a special meeting on November 26th. This is going to be the first budget in 4 years where we don't have the privilege of ARPA, so we have to figure out ways to essentially be responsible with taxpayer money while also trying to run a smooth operation in Ford County for these offices. McCall is pleased with the results so far, budget that he called one of the more well-done and comprehensive budgets we've seen in a while. I think we were mostly concerned about not having the ARPA funds, but it looks like we're going to have a soft landing in terms of our budget without ARPA, McCall said. Thanks to the hard work that Sarah and the Finance Committee and Krisha did to help navigate life without ARPA, we ended up with a balanced budget, and I hope the folks of Ford County see that we're being responsible with their tax dollars. In 2021, following the COVID-19 pandemic, the county received a little over $2 million from the federal government in ARPA funds to be used only to cover specified eligible expenses, McCall said. However, all of those funds have since been either spent or allocated, leaving less money to work with to cover costs in the new budget. A lot of that was allocated through certain salaries that matched what we could allocate for, McCall said. We've allocated the remaining funds with the sheriff's office so that Sheriff Johnson can purchase the necessary public safety equipment and things of that nature, and he will have had to utilize all of that by November 30th, 2026. Still, McCall said the budget includes funds to allow for a 4% pay raise for all non-unionized deputy clerks, along with salary raises as approved during the November 26 special meeting for Supervisor of Assessment Pam Bruins to $67,000, Circuit Clerk Cassie Schwartz to $64,500, Zoning Officer Brandon Magers to $16,640, Emergency Management Agency Coordinator Terry Whitebird to $13,520, and to Assistant EMA Coordinator Danny Neal to $4,420. While not all budget requests from department heads were met due to a lack of available funds, McCall said most requests were ironed out. There's always going to be folks that are unhappy with their budget, but unfortunately, that's the reality of it, McCall said. We've got to be responsible with taxpayer dollars at the end of the day. Hopefully, when folks in Ford County see that the county board created a truly balanced budget, I think that matters more to them than, you know, arguments made, if you will, between the county board and department heads on wants versus needs. Next, from the Sibley Village Board, a resident reports cat shot within village, Sibley. Resident Lori Verkey attended the Sibley Village Board monthly meeting on Monday, December 1st, to make everyone aware that a firearm was discharged within village limits. She was assured that this is a violation of state law and local ordinance. She said she believes the result is the death on her property of a feral cat she had named Tristan. At Verk's request, a Ford County Sheriff's deputy investigated the occurrence. The deputy made note of the blood spots and other facts that he could determine, but finding no casings or projectiles and no video evidence, he was unable to say whether the cat was shot inside Verk's garage or had come there after being shot elsewhere. Vekri said she heard the shot. A detailed police report was filed, which she shared with board members and the media. Vekri said she believes that it is her civic duty to report the unlawful shooting so that other residents are aware and can keep children safe. She said the veterinarian who examined and then euthanized the cat said the wound was from a .22 caliber rifle. Trustee Tim Fillenworth and Village President Jim Kearney answered Vekra's questions, but the board made no move to consider funding cameras in the village park, which Vekra thought could be an appropriate deterrent. She said she is hoping that publicity and word of mouth will deter similar incidents. And from the Village of Roberts, finally, village officially acquires burnt home on Green Street, Roberts. After nearly 4 years, expenditures of $20,000 and literally hundreds of meetings, calls, emails, and texts, the village officially acquired a burnt house and lot owned by Natalie Grissom at 113 West Green Street on Wednesday, November 19th. Weather permitting, the home and garage should be demolished before Christmas, according to Village President Matt Vaughn. Vaughn expressed frustration to the village board and residents in attendance during the board's monthly meeting on December 1st about the length of the process and the costs associated. Vaughn noted that this cannot set a precedence for other properties in town, as the village just doesn't have the resources to undertake such projects on a regular basis. In other business at the meeting, in a follow-up from the November 2025 meeting, Vaughn read statements from Village Attorney Mark Miller and Nancy Mandamina from the Ford County Public Health Department regarding complaints against various buildings on Green Street. Vaughn also mentioned conversations held with the Illinois Municipal League as well as a representative of Orkin Pest Control. All parties were aligned while technically, by law, the village could create some sort of pest control ordinance, none are aware of any municipality in the state that actually has done so, as there is little to no way to enforce it, Vaughn said. It was again recommended that the problem should stay between private property owners and the village and should stay out of it. Mendarmuna did say the county would get involved if any establishment was cited for having cockroaches within their building. Meanwhile, Village Ordinance Officer Ashley Viner noted that a private investigation firm believes it has located Miranda Worstel in Tennessee and that papers will be served mandating that her buildings be cleaned up. If she fails to respond, the village can initiate an exterior cleanup and put a lien on the property at whatever cost the village. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, December 3rd. Connie K. Arsenault, Elliott. Connie K. Arsenault, 79, of Elliott, died on the afternoon of Sunday, November 30th, at her home with her family at her side. Funeral services were held at 11 a.m. Friday, December 5th, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, with a celebration of life service following. Burial followed at the service at the Elliott Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be given to the Unity Baptist Church in Champaign. Will Gerken, Watseka. Dale Gerken, 82, of Watseka, father of a Piper City resident, died Monday, November 24th at the Iroquois Resident Home in Watseka. Funeral services were held Saturday, November 29th, at the Knapp Funeral Home in Watseka, with Joe Hughes officiating. Memorials may be made to the Iroquois Memorial Hospice. Tracy L. Joyce, Paxton. Tracy Laverne Joyce, 65, of Paxton, died Thursday, November 27th, after a battle with cancer. Visitation will be from 1 to 2:30 p.m. Sunday, December 7th at the Cox Knapp Funeral Home in Paxton, followed by a memorial service at 2:30 p.m. Burial will be at Glen Cemetery in Paxton at a later date. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be given to his son, Jay, as his family begins to plan for his transition home. Leah L. Shade, and that's spelled S-C-H-A-E-D-E, Loda. Leah Luann Shade, 82, of Loda, died Wednesday, November 26th, surrounded by her family. A private service for the immediate family will be held. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorial donations be made to the Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism. Richard A. Swick Sr., Coleman, Georgia. Richard Allen, Rick Swick Sr., 70, of Coleman, Georgia, a native of Paxton, died Sunday, November 30th at his residence. The family will conduct a service at a later time. We return to the news, and it's December, and the area communities are gearing up for the holiday season. Some area news briefs now. Paxton's Christmas Parade postponed to this Saturday. Paxton. Paxton's annual Christmas Parade, sponsored by Pride in Paxton, has been rescheduled for 1:30 p.m. Saturday, December 6th on Market Street in downtown Paxton. The theme for this year's parade, which was postponed from November 28th due to the weather, is Once Upon a Christmas. Bands, organizations, churches, businesses, individuals, and families are encouraged to participate, and entry forms are available at a picket fence florist in downtown Paxton. Judges will choose the best of show entry, best themed oriented entry, and most unique entry. Parade entries should not include any Santa figurines or characters because Santa is already scheduled to appear at the parade's end, and having more than one in the parade could confuse small children. Vehicles should be decorated with garland, wreaths, or lights, or at least decorated in some manner. There is no fee to have a float, vehicle, or walking entry in the parade, and entries are accepted all the way up until it begins. Lineup will begin in its usual location on Taft Street, with the parade moving along Orleans Street by the Paxton Carnegie Library before heading north on Market Street through the downtown. For more information, people can contact Don Glad at 217-379-4245. Also in Paxton, Paxton Park District's annual Breakfast with Santa scheduled. Paxton. The Paxton Park District's annual Breakfast with Santa is set for 8 to 10 a.m. Saturday, December 13th at the Civic Center on Fall Street in Paxton. A free breakfast is served by members of the Park Board, with Santa available to meet and take photos with children. The breakfast includes pancakes, sausage, eggs, biscuits, and gravy. During the event, donations of peanut butter, jelly, hamburger helper, boxed meals, canned goods, toilet paper, and baby wipes will be collected for local food pantries. And then in Piper City. Piper City residents invited to enter home decorating contests. Light Up Piper City, an outdoor Christmas decorating contest, is accepting entries from Piper City residents through December 5th, with voting to be done between Monday, December 8th and Friday, December 12th. The contest will award $75 for first place, $50 for second place, and $100 for the People's Choice Awards. One vote is allowed per household, and voting slips must be turned in for the People's Choice Award by 7 p.m. December 12th. Voting slips may be obtained and submitted at the local post office, public library, Piper Gas and Humming, and Hummingbird Cafe Coffee House. To enter the contest, households are asked to text their name and address to 217-249-3323 or 217-379-7628. Names will not be included in the voting slips. And for those who are writing to Santa, Santa mailboxes in Paxton. Letters to North Pole can be left at Paxton locations. Paxton. Kids can send letters to Santa by bringing them to special Santa mailboxes stationed at locations in Paxton. Those who do so will receive a new winter hat while supplies last. Santa mailboxes are located at Amy Swan's residence, 720 North American Street, and Monocle's Pizza, 500 West Ottawa Road. Letters should be dropped off by Friday, December 19th, and include the first and last name of the writer and a return address, as Santa will be writing back. Sponsors of the Santa mailbox are Bijou Hair Boutique, Brooke Mullins at Lennington Realty, the Frederick Community Bank, Hudson Drug and Hallmark Shop, Mom and Pop's Kettle Corn Stop, Monocle's Pizza, Paxton Mercantile, Pop Loft, Pueblo Lindo, Ruby Jewel, Sassy Joe's Boutique, and the Paxton Hardware and Rental. And finally, Santa Road Rally set for December 20th, Paxton. The annual Ford County Santa Road Rally will visit towns across the county on Saturday, December 20th. The procession of decorated vehicles led by Santa Claus leaves Paxton at 10 a.m. before stopping by Elliott at 10:30 a.m., Sibley at 11:25 a.m., Melvin at noon, Piper City at 1 p.m., Kempton at 2, Stell at 2:35, and Cabri at 3 p.m. Santa will be stopping at town halls and community centers along the route. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.